So friends, this morning I'd like to invite you to turn your Bible with me for the public reading of the scripture to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now, I'm sure many of you already know this very well-known stories in the Bible that is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. But before we read the gospel word, may I now invite you to pray with me for the blessing upon the reading and the exposition of God's words. Let's all pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for this time we can come before you and hear your word being preached to us to learn about Jesus Christ and the gospel in this passage, in the scripture. Lord, your word is like a double-edged sword. It can indeed pierce the hardened heart. It can convict us of our sin. And we ask, oh Lord, that you will indeed convict us of our sin as we read and as we hear your word today. But at the same time, Lord, your word is also like a soothing balm that can comfort people, that can give strength to people. And indeed, Lord, we also ask that you will soothe us, so that you will comfort us as we may be struggling with particular sin in our lives, as we may be struggling with various shame in our life when we read and study this word this morning. So Lord, we ask that you will bless this time. We ask, oh Lord, that you will shine your face upon us. We ask, oh Lord, that you will indeed draw near to us as we come to you to be fed by the heavenly manna, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So my dear friends, this morning's reading of the scripture comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. This is the inspired, therefore infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word of God, sufficient to make us wise unto salvation and equip us for good works. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with his scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Thus by the reading of God's holy word. So my dear friends, this morning we continue our sermon series on the book of Acts once again. And to this end, we come to one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, in the New Testament, the story of Ethiopian eunuch. But now, before I go any further, let me just quickly tell you that I was very much intrigued by this book in a way that I never had been before, not because I was reminded of this angel of the Lord speaking to Philip or Philip literally teleporting from one place to another, but because I recognized that this story follows immediately after the story of Simon Magus. So for those of you who are with us in our previous discourse in this book, well, we were introduced to the unfortunate account, really a sad account of a man named Simon Magus, who supposedly believed and was baptized under Philip's ministry. And I say supposedly, because Luke later reveals to us that Simon's conversion was rather motivated by his selfish and twisted interest in the gospel. Well, Luke told us that he desired to obtain the power of the gospel and be like Philip so that he can be famous and wealthy and powerful in the city of Samaria again. And this covetous desire of Simon Magus was immediately exposed when the apostles Peter and John came to the city of Samaria to pray for the Holy Spirit upon these Samaritan believers. So we were told that when the apostle Peter and John prayed and laid their hands on the Samaritan, and when the Holy Spirit descended upon the Samaritan believers, that we were told this Simon brought his money to the apostles and requested to purchase this gift of God. And we were told that this covetous desire of Simon Magus was immediately confronted and condemned and cursed, really, by Peter, as he commanded Simon to repent from his unrighteous heart and guilty conscience, or guilt. And it is after this sad account of Simon Magus that Luke once again draw our attention to another particular man from Ethiopia, and that we know as Ethiopian eunuch. And much to our intrigue, this Ethiopian eunuch had a lot of similarity to Simon Magus of the city of Samaria. For example, this Ethiopian eunuch was also a powerful man and a wealthy man, just like the Simon Magus was. And this Ethiopian eunuch also showed a great interest in the gospel, just like Simon Magus did under Philip's ministry. And for the matter, this Ethiopian eunuch was also taught and ministered by Philip, just as Simon Magus was taught and ministered under Philip's ministry. But unlike the story of Simon Magus, the story of Ethiopian eunuch ends in a very positive note. It ends with very positive result, where he returned to his home rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I think we need to ask this important question this morning. That is, what was so different about this Ethiopian eunuch? I mean, what was so different about this Ethiopian eunuch that his story ended on such a dramatically different note than the story of Simon Magus? I mean, what can we know about this Ethiopian eunuch in today's text? So it is my intention this morning, my dear friends, to walk through the story of Ethiopian eunuch with you. And by doing so, Lord's willing, I hope we can find answers to these questions and perhaps the most important lesson that Luke is going to teach us in the book of Acts. So before I go any further, just to help us understand where we are going with today's text, just to help us understand the big picture from today's text, I want to submit this proposition to you. So my dear friends, in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, in the story of Ethiopian eunuch, Luke encourages all those who are poor and humble in their spirit to find their satisfaction and joy in Jesus Christ. So in today's text, Luke teaches us to all those who are poor in their spirit, poor and humble in their spirit, to find their satisfaction and joy in Jesus Christ. Well then, before we jump into this morning's sermon points, let's just briefly talk about the context of today's text. That is, what happened in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And according to Luke, today's story unfolds itself as an angel of the Lord appeared to Philip one day with a command from God. So unfortunately, we don't exactly know where Philip was when this extraordinary event happened to him. Some scholars argue that Philip was, you know, still in the city of Samaria ministering to Samaritan believers. But others argue that Philip was already back in Jerusalem after the great event of Pentecost in the Samaritan church. But whatever the case may have been, well, today's text tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared to Philip. And he gave a command to him that we read in verse 26 of today's text that says, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which was a desert place. And even though this desert place, even though it did not make sense to, for Philip to walk to this wilderness, well, today's text tells us that he obeyed. And as he walked through this wilderness, as he was walking through this middle of nowhere, we are told that he began to notice something in the middle of the desert. And as he slowly got closer to this random object in the middle of nowhere, we are told that he slowly recognized that it was a man sitting on his chariot. And it is this strange encounter, it is through this providentially led encounter that today's story unfolds itself as Luke opens today's story. So let's jump into the first point of today's sermon, that is Philip's encounter with a poor Ethiopian eunuch. Philip's encounter with a poor Ethiopian eunuch. And then we see this in verses 27 through 28. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. So who was this stranger sitting on his chariot in the middle of nowhere? Well, Luke tells us that it was a eunuch who came from a kingdom of Ethiopia. Now, I'm not sure all of us know what the word eunuch is. You know, I'm sure I don't have to go, you know, far to explain to you what the word eunuch means. But however, for those of you who doesn't know what this word eunuch means, well, eunuchs were a castrated man or neutered man, so-called it, who served the royal family. So in the ancient time, you know, some males, you know, often volunteer, you know, themselves to become a eunuch so that they may serve a royal families, because becoming a eunuch would often give them a great advantage or great privilege that common people did not enjoy in their lives. You know, and although the scripture doesn't really tell us how this Ethiopian man became a eunuch or why this Ethiopian man became a eunuch, it is likely that he also volunteered himself to be a eunuch in the royal family so that he may have a better chance of a better having a better life than what he had in his life. And as a eunuch, Luke certainly tells us that this man was an extraordinary man and that this man indeed had a better life than other people around him. For example, we are told that this Ethiopian eunuch was a powerful man with a high position. We are told that he was a court official or a high officer serving the Ethiopian queen who ruled the country. And for the matter, we are also told that this Ethiopian man was a wealthy man. He was in charge of all the treasure of the Ethiopian queen. And fascinatingly and interestingly, Luke also testifies to us that this Ethiopian man was also a man with great and fervent devotion, a man with great religious life. And the further description, Luke tells us that, well, this Ethiopian man loved the God of Israel. He already believed in God of Israel, so much so that we are told he traveled all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem so that he may worship him. However, even though this Ethiopian eunuch appeared to have everything that he needed in his life, even though this Ethiopian eunuch appeared to have everything, money and wealth and fame and devotional life, well, today's text tells us that there was one great need that this Ethiopian eunuch had in his life, which ironically came from the fact that he was a eunuch. So if you have your Bible with me, please turn your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 23 right now in order to help you understand what I mean by that. So if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, the Lord God gives a command concerning the assembly of the Lord. People who can join the assembly of the Lord, people who can enjoy the public worship of God with rest of God's family. And God gives this command in his scripture to Moses, to the Israelites, and he says, no one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut up shall enter the assembly of the Lord. So what is this command saying? Well, this command is saying that eunuchs cannot join the assembly of the Lord. It is telling, God is commanding that no one who is castrated voluntarily or forcefully or accidentally cannot join the assembly of the Lord and enjoy the privilege of public worship of God. Now, God gave this command to the Israelites in order to teach them that God's people must be perfect and blameless to appear before the holy and perfect God. It was a symbolical way of teaching how God's people must be perfect and holy in every way. But nonetheless, much to the Ethiopian eunuch's disappointment, regardless of how fervently he loved God, regardless how deeply he loved God, he was no exception to this cruel commandment in his life. You see, being a eunuch himself, he was fundamentally and inevitably excluded from the full privilege of enjoying the assembly of the holy and perfect God because of his brokenness and imperfection in his body. So imagine for a moment with me how the Ethiopian eunuch would have felt here. He traveled all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. His heart is full of fervent love, a fiery love and devotion toward God. He cannot wait to worship and see the holy city, be in the holy city of Jerusalem. But as he enters into Jerusalem, the reality hits him that he cannot enter the temple, that he cannot appear before God, that he cannot stand before God, because he understands very well from the Old Testament that his imperfection and his brokenness in his life prevents him from standing before perfect and holy God. So in today's text, Luke tells us that Philip encounter a powerful man, a wealthy man, a devout man, but also a poor man, a man who was poor in his spirit because of his brokenness and imperfection before God. But as you can see, today's text continues, and it tells us that, and Luke tells us that this Ethiopian eunuch was not just a man poor in spirit, but that he was also a man humble in his spirit as well. And we see this as Philip engages in a conversation with Ethiopian eunuch who was sitting on his chariot. So let's jump into the second point of today's sermon, that is Philip's encounter with a humble Ethiopian eunuch. Philip's encounter with a humble Ethiopian eunuch. And we see this in verses 29 through 30, as Luke says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? Now, before I go any further, let me pause here for a moment to tell you something about me. When I was younger, I say younger because I'm still young compared to many of you. When I was younger, I had this terrible habit called pretending to know something that I didn't. Pretending to know something I didn't. In fact, I think, you know, when I first moved to the US, this habit actually got worse. I honestly think it was more like a defense mechanism where I didn't want to be seen as an ignorant, you know, young man who moved to the US. You know, I didn't want to be looked down upon and things like this. So I used to pretend to know something that I didn't know about. But as you can imagine, you know, pretending to know something that you don't, well, can really backfire on you, right? So in fact, I remember my first orientation day in a classroom at a college, my friend asked me a question. So, do you know what sarcasm is? And I answered them, yes, I do know what sarcasm is. But I didn't know what sarcasm was. Because in Korea, there's no such thing as a sarcasm. In Korea, there's no such thing as being sarcastic. You know, I was completely ignorant of what sarcasm was at all. But I answered them and I told them that, yes, I do know what sarcasm is, because I didn't want to be embarrassed in front of people, because I didn't want to be looked as an ignorant man in front of my friends. And it did not take long until that pretending to know something backfired on me and hurt me pretty bad, because all my friends started being sarcastic to me. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, these people are so mean. Wow, these people are so condescending, because I didn't know what sarcasm meant. Or my friend was being sarcastic to me because I told him I knew what sarcasm meant. But I'm sure I'm not the only one who ever pretended to know something. I'm sure many of you also, at some point in your life, pretended to know something that you didn't, either because you didn't want to get into trouble, either because you didn't want to embarrass yourself, either because you were in front of people that you liked. Well, in today's text then, Luke tells us that Philip met an Ethiopian eunuch who was reading an Isaiah on his chariot. And as Philip approached him, we are told that he asked a question to the Ethiopian eunuch saying, do you understand what you are reading? Now, let's remember here that this Ethiopian eunuch was a man of high status. I mean, he was a eunuch, but nonetheless, he was a court official. He was a high officer who was serving the queen of Ethiopia. So you would think that the Ethiopian eunuch will answer Philip saying, of course I know what I'm reading. Who do you think I am? A common peasant in the street? Why do you think I'm reading this book of Isaiah if I didn't know what it was saying? I do know what I'm reading here. Why do you even ask me that question? But according to today's text, that's not how the Ethiopian eunuch answered Philip. No, verse 31 tells us that the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I, unless someone guides me? In other words, today's text tells us that this Ethiopian eunuch humbly acknowledged his ignorance. And for the matter, we are told that he spoke to Philip, no, sir, I don't understand what I'm reading here. No, how can I understand what I'm reading in this book of Isaiah unless someone explains it to me, unless someone exposits it to me, unless someone leads me to understand this difficult saying? And we are told this Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, sir, can you help me to understand this difficult saying I'm reading in the book of Isaiah? And to that end, we are told that Ethiopian eunuch invited Philip to come up and sit with him on his chariot. And we are told that they began to read passages of the scripture together that was taken from Isaiah chapter 53 that went like this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before a shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And after they did these passages together, we are told that the Ethiopian eunuch finally got to ask a question that he was wrestling in his mind, saying, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Now, all of us know the answer. You know, we are well educated. We have a full revelation of scripture. We obviously know that this is a messianic psalm, a messianic prophecy. In fact, Isaiah chapter 53 is one of the most well-known chapter in the Bible. That is called the Song of the Suffering Servant. So we all know that this prophecy is speaking not of Isaiah, but about the coming Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And some of us might even think to ourselves, how can this Ethiopian eunuch not see this? How can he not see that this is about the Messiah? How can he even think that this is about the prophet Isaiah himself? But we are told that this is not how Philip approached the question. No. When the Ethiopian eunuch asked him, who is this man in the book of Isaiah that we just read? We are told that Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this passage, that he began to tell him about the good news of Jesus Christ. In other words, Philip did not condescend the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip did not laugh at the Ethiopian eunuch for such silly question. No, but he genuinely and he humbly explained to the Ethiopian eunuch that this sheep that was taken to the slaughter, this lamb that was like this lamb that was silent before his shearer, a man whose justice was denied from it, a man whose life was taken away from him, was no other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified and who was killed upon the cross for the sins and curses of the mankind. Well then, how did the Ethiopian eunuch respond to this message? How did the Ethiopian eunuch respond to the Philip's evangelistic message? Well, let's jump into the last point of today's sermon. That is Philip's encounter with a joyful Ethiopian eunuch. Philip's encounter with a joyful Ethiopian eunuch. As verse 36 tells us, as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So before I go any further here, if you are observant, you would notice something strange in these passages that I just read. If you are using an ESV, NIV, or LSB, later versions of the Bible, you would notice that verse 36 actually jumps right to the verse 38. But if you are using like KJV or NKJV, you will notice that there is actually an additional verse in between 36 and 38 that reads like this. That says, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the Ethiopian eunuch replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, the reason why the ESV and other later versions of the Bible doesn't contain verse 37 is because some of the older manuscripts actually do not have verse 37 written in it. And some of the later manuscript does have a verse 37, but older one doesn't. So since ESV and NIV, other later versions of the Bible, doesn't see verse 37 in older manuscript, they think that this verse 37 was not part of the original sayings of Philip or original recording of Luke's Acts of the Apostles. But our concern for this morning is not whether verse 37 was part of the older manuscript or not. Our concern for this morning is whether the Ethiopian eunuch really believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And today's text communicates to us that the Ethiopian eunuch believed the gospel message from Philip. And we see this in verse 38. We are told that the Ethiopian eunuch commanded the chariot to stop. And that we are told that both Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water. And that we are told Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch just as he had done to everyone who made an external profession of faith. And after Philip baptized Ethiopian eunuch. We are told that he was carried away by the Holy Spirit, and he found himself in Azotus, and that he preached the gospel as he traveled to Caesarea. But at this point, some of us might ask this question then. That is, well, how can we know that this Ethiopian eunuch was a genuine convert, true convert? I mean, after all, this happened to Simon Magus in our previous discourse, right? Simon Magus also believed and baptized. So how can we know that this Ethiopian eunuch is not Simon Magus 2.0? How can we know? Well, we can know this from verse 39 as well. You see, today's text tells us that after Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, that he went home, that he returned home. How? Rejoicing. He returned home rejoicing. Why? Because he understood that he was no longer a man poor in spirit. He understood that just as Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." He understood that now he believed in Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God was his. He returned home rejoicing because he did no longer need to be ashamed of his brokenness and imperfection in his body. He understood that he can now stand before God confidently and boldly in Jesus Christ, because Jesus has taken his imperfection and his brokenness upon his body. Today's text tells us that this Ethiopian eunuch returned rejoicing because he understood that the wall, the veil that cut him away from God, that separated him from God, was torn down through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So in this way, Luke tells us that Philip met a joyful eunuch who returned home rejoicing. But now I think we need to ask one more very important question. Hang in there. That is, so what? So what? Why should we care about this story? I mean, the story of Ethiopian eunuch is like a story from 2,000 years ago. And if you're honest with me, it seems like this story has no relevance to any of us here, especially man here. It's a story of a eunuch. Why should we care about this? Well, let me tell you why how we should not care about this story. You see, some Christian communities actually use this story to legitimize the false idea of being Christian and gay. I was actually blown away about this. As I was studying this scripture, I was blown away how so many supposedly LGBTQ plus Christians, or supposedly this affirming churches, use this story to legitimize the false idea that you can be Christian and homosexual, you can be Christian and bisexual, you can be Christian and transsexual. I was blown away how they use this story for that purpose. But let me tell you, this story is nothing about sexual revolution that's going on in our society right now. You cannot use this story to legitimize that. No. So then why should we care about this story of Ethiopian eunuch? Well, let me tell you why we should care about this. We should care about this story of Ethiopian eunuch because we are that Ethiopian eunuch. Not in that we have this physical imperfection, not in that we have this physical deformation, but in that we have a spiritual imperfection, spiritual deformation before God. Do you want to know what the Bible says about us? It tells us that men are by nature alienated from God. Just as the Ethiopian eunuch was alienated from God because of his imperfection and brokenness. The Bible tells us that we by nature are cut away from God, kicked out from God's glorious presence. Just as this Ethiopian eunuch was kicked out from the assembly of the Lord. The Bible tells us that we by nature cannot stand before God. Just as the Ethiopian eunuch could not stand before God of holiness and perfection. Why? Because we are sinners. Because we are transgressing. Because we have a imperfection and brokenness spiritually. So, let me ask you, did you by any chance laughed at the word eunuch when you read it? Did you by any chance laughed at this word? If you did so, I don't know why you were laughing. Because that's you. Because that's us. We are that spiritual Ethiopian eunuch. But here's the good news, my dear friends. Just as the Ethiopian eunuch rejoiced home and returned home rejoicing in the gospel, the Bible tells us that we also have hope in Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us that we no longer need to be ashamed of our sin if we believe in Jesus, because Jesus Christ took our shame away as he died upon the cross. Just as the Ethiopian eunuch was made perfect and whole once again in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we can be made perfect and whole if we believe in Jesus Christ. Just as this Ethiopian eunuch realized that he can now stand before God confidently and boldly in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that when we believe in Jesus Christ, if we believe in Jesus Christ, that we can stand before God confidently and boldly, without fearing for the judgment, without fearing for the shame, without fearing for the punishment from God. So my dear friends, this is what we learn in today's text. Luke teaches us this morning, encourages all those who are poor and humble in their spirit to find their satisfaction and joy in Jesus Christ, who alone can make us whole and perfect again in him. So let me end this sermon with this pressing question to you. Do you know you are spiritual Ethiopian eunuch? Are you poor in your spirit? Are you humble in your spirit, desiring to know Jesus Christ? If so, come and believe in him. Our Lord promised us that blessed are those who are poor in their spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Our Lord promised us that he will not cast away anyone who comes to him. So believe in the Lord, who alone can make us perfect and blameless before God. Let us all pray together.